Good morning and welcome to the Book Echoes podcast, the podcast all things children's and young adult literature. I'm YA author Connie B. Dowell. Happy belated Easter and Passover to those who celebrate either of those two holidays, as this episode goes out just shortly after those two holidays have been celebrated. So again, as per usual, I'm hanging out with the kids trying to record this intro at the same time. So I apologize for any little background noise, out in the yard with stuff like going by as I record it. And today I've got for you an interview with middle grade author Laurel Descher, and we talk middle grade books, parsnips, and the value of speaking up. There's a few sound issues. In the middle of the recording, but I don't think it disturbs the information too much. And by and large, we've got a pretty clear recording and I think a really helpful interview, especially for those who would like to write middle grade one day or are writing middle grade right now. As far as my personal update, I'm kind of keeping busy working on getting Dead Man's Jazz out. It's now on pre-order, and a promotion is going on right now for the first book in the series, The Poison in All of Us. So I'm monitoring that. If you would like to get it for free for a limited time, you can do that on Amazon. And it's been fun watching the promotion go and watching the book kind of go up the charts as people download it. And I hope that it translates into some fans and some reviews for the series. As for my writing tip of the week, while I, keep busy and I work hard, sometimes I feel a little bit jealous of the folks I see who are taking what looks like to me a very relaxing writing retreats in, a lovely clean cottage with no toys on the floor and plenty of time to just work on their writing or illustration or both. But last weekend, I actually had a tiny writing retreat of my own. Even though I can't really justify at this point taking too much time away from my family, Steve had a day off and I had a ton to do, so I spent most of the day at Starbucks, and for the cost of several coffees, I hung out and I just kind of got things done. I wrote over 3,600 words and outlined the remainder of a short story that will probably come to about 10K when it's all done. It wasn't exactly relaxing, but it was empowering to get that much done. And it was good to still be able to go home to my family that night while they need me so much and not feel bad about being away from them or leaving Steve with all the parenting duties. So I guess my tip is, if you don't think you can make a writing retreat happen because of the time that it takes away from your family or because of the expense, you can do a mini retreat for a day, perhaps, if you've got a day free. And all it costs is a few coffees, or if you go to the library, it's totally free. So that's all from me. Now let's go on to the interview with Laurel.
All right, welcome to the Book Echoes podcast. Today I am talking with Lauren Descher, the author of The Trouble with Parsnips, middle grade fiction. It looks to be a particularly funny read. Hi, Laurel.
Hi. It's so nice to be here, Connie. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. So to start with, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and your book?
I come from the United States. I lived in Vermont for a long time, but now I live in Germany, and I write middle grade for ages 9 to 12, and I'm working on a series of fairy tales, sort of wacky fairy tales that I'm calling Seven Kingdoms, fairy tales, and they all have a growth mindset. And the first one was just published in October of 2018, and it's The Trouble with Parsnips.
Great. The Trouble with Parsnips. So it looks like it's kind of a humorous story about a princess who doesn't have a name. Could you tell us a little bit more about the kind of the hook for that story?
Well, it's a story that's about the magic of speaking up, because I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were talking about how easy it is to confuse your listeners sometimes. And I think maybe especially girls do this more than boys sometimes, because we're trained to be nice to people. So when we answer a question, we try to give everybody the answer they want, or we try to make sure that nobody doesn't get the answer that they don't want. And the result is sort of this fog of communication, and it's really hard to understand. And I started thinking about what would it be like if there was a character who wasn't able to express herself and wasn't able to speak up for herself, and what would be the worst possible situation for her to be in. And that's where the story came from.
Cool. So the name, she doesn't have a name because she can't speak up for her name, or?
Right, because she has a lot of siblings. She has, she's called 15th. Just by the number, because she's the youngest of 15 mm-hmm. in this royal family that is so large and so busy, and there, so many of them are excellent speakers, and there's a lot of action happening all the time, and she's just decided that she would rather be an inventor, and she goes into our workshop and builds things, and doesn't really mind that no one notices, except that she would like a name, and she keeps trying to get her parents' attention, but they're so busy because there's the kingdom to govern, and then there are these other 14 children that they have to look after. And so she keeps trying to build an invention that will make them see that she needs a name instead of speaking up. And so it's all about how, in any story, she has to face what she would, she has to leave her strength of inventing things, and mm-hmm. she has to try a new skill. And that's how the story goes.
Cool. All right. So could you tell us a little bit about how you became a writer?
I think I was one of those kids who was always making newspapers and always writing stories and making booklets. And I think we always had books in our house, and we always went to the library, and there was really nothing better that you wanted to do. I think at some point I thought, you can't really make a living writing books, so you should learn something else. And then I went into public health and became an epidemiologist, which is kind of funny in a way when you think, English is not profitable, so I'll go work for the government, for the state health department. It's not what most people would consider, high-powered career, but I enjoyed that too. And maybe that's probably where the vegetables come from in this book, because as a child, I was really anti-vegetable, and people kept trying to give them to me. And as a grown-up and as an epidemiologist, I'm in favor of vegetables, and I like to grow them, and I like to eat them, and I like to cook them. And I felt like parsnips were kind of an underappreciated vegetable that needed some support.
Yeah, I think I can count on my hand like the number of times I've had parsnips. Bad, but they're just not everywhere. So vegetables are a big part of the story.
Well, the very first time I ever had parsnips was when I went to there was a huge community in upstate New York, and they were having a harvest festival, and they were cooking basically everything they had harvested, and they brought this huge platter of parsnip fries to the table, and I hadn't ever eaten. They looked like French fries, but they were a little bit, they have a little bit sweet flavor, and then they have this little funny flavor that is parsnip. I don't know what, but they're really good because they're not boring. Mm-hmm. And since then I was like, this is a great food. And so then I made that the national food of Cochum Kingdom, which is the kingdom where this nameless princess comes from. And then of course the whole story starts when the evil black fly queen comes to Cochum Kingdom at the end of the feast, because she's always late, and there are no more parsnip fries left, and then she loses her temper. So, mm-hmm. and things go on from there.
Oh dear, no more surprise.
Oh no.
That is something to lose your temper over.
Yeah. Right. No, what do you mean? I've walked all this way over the hills and through the valleys and no parcel price.
Yeah. So what led you from epidemiology and eating parsnips to writing fiction again?
I got back into writing because a friend invited me to a writing workshop and I really wanted to see the friend. And it was right after my first child was born. And at about the same time, my brother-in-law gave me a really fancy writing book that was so fancy that one of those that you're really afraid to write in because they're so nice and the paper is so nice and the outside was made from handmade paper from Nepal with flowers embedded in it. And then I finally made a cover out of wax paper from the kitchen, you know, like a book cover to go over it because I was afraid to hold it in my hand that the flowers would fall off. And then I think I started writing again because I thought I have to put something in this book. And I think the first thing I started doing in there, I had checked out a book from the library and it asked you to remember things from your childhood that were vivid in your memory and to write them down and make them as vivid as you could. And so actually that first notebook was all about things I did when I was a child and adventures I had with my brothers.
Cool. Yeah. So that kind of leads me into, the third question I structure these interviews around is, so what drew you, once you started writing again, to write for kids and specifically for middle grade?
I think what happened here is I have two kids, and at this time, the youngest one was just starting out in a Girl Scout troop, like a Daisy troop, which is the first graders. And I was helping out with that troop, and then we gradually went on, and I think they were maybe brownies or very young juniors. And at the same time, I started to go to Toastmasters, which is a club that teaches adults how to learn to do public speaking. Mm-hmm. And I had never done anything like that, just like the Nameless Princess. My brother did all the debate team things, and I was like, nope, not for me. I'm going to play in the orchestra, and I can be safely in the orchestra pit, and the other people can be on the stage. But I decided, okay, you're a grown-up now. You don't have to always be in the orchestra pit. You could try it out and see what happens. And I was so surprised when I went to the first Toastmasters meeting because they were showing you. I had always thought that people who knew how to run a meeting were born knowing how to do it. And I didn't know that you could learn how, which sounds really stupid, but it just never occurred to me. I just thought there were people who do that and people who don't. And at the same time, we had this Girl Scout troop, and we were always telling them, shh, can you be quiet? Can you be quiet? We want to say something. And my co-leader and I were getting really tired of repeating ourselves, and the girls were getting really tired of hearing that. And we said, what if we tried doing some of this Toastmasters stuff in a Girl Scout meeting? And so we took over all the jobs. Like in Toastmasters, it's almost like scouting because you sort of earn merit badges for all the different jobs that you do. If you're the Toastmaster, you're the person running the meeting. So we had like a meeting master in the Girl Scout troop. So, and then we had all these different jobs that the girls could try. And we were really surprised at how much they liked it and how we never had to say shh anymore because they were the ones doing the thing. Mm-hmm. And when we raised our hands and said we had something to say, they gave us 5 minutes and we gave whatever announcement it was. And so all of this came together and I started writing. And that's what led to this particular story because it's, again, about a girl trying to learn how to speak up and kind of the sort of silliness that happens to you in any kind of fairy tale.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I could see how all those elements kind of came together. It's funny how different elements in your life, when you write, come together to make a story.
Oh, yeah, and I guess I forgot, like, the place that this came from, the Cochum Castle, is a real place. It's called the Reichsburg. And I went to Cochum, which is on the Mosel River in Germany. And on the day that I was there, it has this classic tall tower and there were rooks flying around the tower. And I just thought, oh, this is a fairy tale. You have to write a fairy tale because it's right there in front of you. And so that's why I picked that place to have this story happen.
Yeah, that's cool. So the, so this story, it's a, the whole series is kind of about like this personal growth and stepping out of your box. Are there vegetables in the other books that you're planning?
Yeah. Well, one day I was talking to my youngest and she is a very good writer herself. And I think I told her I was having trouble with parsnips because I didn't know what the title should be. It was originally Too Late for Parsnips. And then she came up with like a whole list of titles with all different vegetables and all different things in them. And I can't tell you what any of them are because none of those books are out yet, but yeah.
So we can expect more of a D's.
Yeah.
All right. So you mentioned the growth mindset a couple of times. Is that something just kind of back to like our very formulaic four questions, like what's something special that your books really offer to kids or to parents or librarians or teachers recommending these books?
I think when I started writing this story, I had been writing another story that I still love very much, but was probably too large for me. That was a medieval historical fiction also for middle grade and much more serious in tone. And I'd been working on that for a couple of decades. And I thought, you know, now I'm going to write something that is just funny and irresponsible and fluffy. And I don't know what the right word is, but I'm just going to try to have as much fun as possible. And I'm going to try to delight the reader as much as possible, because I think life can be pretty hard when you're in making that transition from elementary school to middle school. And there are a lot of books that deal with really serious topics, and I think they should deal with serious topics, but I wanted to write something that kind of gave people a little vacation, you know, a little rest in the middle, so you could just kind of swallow the whole book and then say, okay, now I'm ready to go back out and do the things that need to be done, or go out and do whatever is in front of me, my math homework, the laundry, whatever it is, I don't know. And so that was my first goal, was to really make it fun. And then for me, it was also about exploring all the ways that it's hard to speak up. And what does it feel like when you can't speak up? And what does it feel like when you try speaking up? Because in our Girl Scout troop, when we had really tiny Girl Scouts in like the first grade, and I talked to them one day about what does it feel like to be brave? And they were all like, yeah, we want to be brave. And I said, can you give me an example of when you were brave? And one of them said, I went up the escalator in the big department store all by myself. And everybody said, yeah, like that was a brave. And I was like, yeah, when you're in first grade and you're so small, that thing is like a dragon. It's going to eat you and you're going to go. And so those are sort of the thoughts and feelings that came together into what I wanted to put into this book. It's like, what is it like if you face things that you either don't know how to do or that intimidate you or that you never even really thought of as a possibility? And what is it like if you have some friends to help you out to try it out, and what happens?
Yeah. No, good. And I really appreciate the fun, like middle grade as a category is a really fun age group. It's an age group where there's a lot of really, you know, humorous and adventure stories.
Yeah. I always think that middle grade is the last genre before the middle of life comes, because then as soon as you get into young adult, then people are talking about relationships and, you know, there is this sort of feeling that now we're going to all settle down and start families at some point, you know, like not immediately in young adult, but you start going down that road. And I think middle grade fiction traditionally is much, much broader, which is why I think if you're in a middle grade age group, you can understand your grandparents because they're done with the whole Like we've raised the whole family, and now we're going back to what did we really love? Like what were the things in life that were really gifts to us? Was it that we liked to collect stamps? Was it that we liked to listen to bird calls? Did we like to go on hikes or have picnics or like the things that really are you yourself and not anybody else with you somehow?
Yeah.
I don't know what that
means. No, I see that. I see that. So, moving into our final question, gone on this journey towards publication, what's one piece of advice, be it writing, marketing, et cetera, that you would want to pass on to other writers?
This is always a hard question because so many people gave me so much good advice and were good examples and helped me in so many places. I think I really like a Rachel Aaron who wrote a famous blog post and a book that's called From 2K to 10K about writing more productively. Do you know that one?
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one. And she talks in there, I think her best advice for other writers says there are no rules. And I think mine is a little bit related to that because I think my advice would be decide or risk or choose or whatever verb really speaks to you, do the thing, make the thing. And I think Seth Godin says, it's like there's a carousel with all these horses. There's self-publishing, there's traditional publishing, there's hybrid publishing, there's what have you. It's like the horses are all good. Just get on one and do it. And I think I wish I had realized much earlier in the process how much is up to us. Like I kept waiting for somebody else to tell me, yes, that's the one. And you have to say, yes, it's the one, and then other people can help you make it. But until you do, no one can really help you.
Yep. If you don't get it written, you can't you can't make it into a book.
Seems basic, but it's there it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So great advice, Laurel. So finally, where can we find you and your books online? Any upcoming projects you want to tell us about?
You can find information about Trouble with Parsnips, probably if you Google Trouble with Parsnips, because you get a bunch of parsnips and vegetable tools, but you also get my book. And my website is laureldesher.com. I don't know if you have show notes, right? So you probably put
the link. So I'll put the link in there.
And I can also give you a link for Toastmasters International. And I guess the Write on Con conference is the one where I first met a lot of my good critique partners. And that's coming up very soon. Very, very soon.
Yeah, it's almost that time.
So people should check that out because it's practically free. And it's a great thing to do if you can't travel to a conference.
Yeah, for those who may not know what this is, it's an online conference, primarily for children and young adult writers, right? Or do they open it up to adult? Okay.
I don't know if they have all genres now. When I was there, I met a lot of children's and young adult writers there.
Yeah.
So writers being what they are, you know, they might just write something else on the side because people don't. And I think I gave you the link for the Society for Children's Book Writers and Illustrators because that's always a great source, but everybody will mention that one. So yay, it's going.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Laurel.
Thanks so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
All right.
Thanks so much for listening to the Book Echoes podcast. You can find the podcast at bookechoes.com, on Apple Podcasts, or on Stitcher. And I would really appreciate it if you enjoyed the podcast to leave a review at one of those places or leave a comment on the show notes at bookechoes.com.